Now, I share this with you to take us into our message today.
We anticipate a riot. This common crowd is much too loud. Tell the mob who sing your song that they are fools and they are wrong. They are a curse. They should disperse.
Waste your breath moaning at the crowd. Nothing can be done to stop the shouting. If every tongue were still, the noise would still continue. The rocks and stones themselves would start to sing. Hosanna, hey, Zanna, 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 ho, Zanna, hey, ho. Sing me your songs, but not for me alone. Sing out for yourselves, for you are blessed. There is not one of you who cannot win the kingdom. The slow, the suffering, the quick, the dead. Hosanna, hey, Zanna, 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 ho, Zanna, hey.
Departing a little bit from tradition, I don't really have a funny story for you to share with you. I only have one funny Tom Story Sunday, and I've told that a couple of years in a row, so I decided to skip that. Instead, I want to share a bit of a story about myself, and that is way back in the 60s, when I was a strapping young man, it was a time of ongoing protests and demonstrations throughout our country. And my father, who throughout my entire life never ever laid down the law as to what I should or couldn't do, said to me in a very firm and stern voice, "Do not get involved in any of that stuff. Stay far away from it." My father wasn't making a case based on ideologies or beliefs. His concern was for my safety. It was also a time when there was a significant push for civil rights in the country. I do not recall whether it was a Saturday or a Sunday, but there was a major civil rights rally at Soldier Field. Urged on a bit by a significant mentor in my life, I went to that civil rights gathering at Soldier Field with serious pangs of conscience about disobeying my dad's wishes. I was not the least bit concerned about being punished in any way. I was concerned about hurting his feelings, which would have been more painful for me than any punishment ever could be. And I share this story with you today because for me, in my life, this event represented a coming of age. I attended the rally, which attracted tens of thousands of people. I marched to the stadium. with crowds of people, white people, black people, brown people, walking arm in arm and singing songs of freedom. I do not think my presence there that day did very much to enhance equality, civil rights, or social justice. But for me personally, despite a tinge of guilt for violating my dad's wishes, it was a life-changing event. This is exactly where I belonged that day, and I knew that I was doing exactly what I should be doing. Well, obviously, I never became a civil rights leader. I never became a champion or a spokesperson of any kind for social justice. And this is not about and has nothing to do with me doing anything special, deserving of praise or recognition of any kind. It really and truly doesn't. For me, the whole experience came down to making me contemplate that maybe there was more to life, and maybe there was more to me than I previously had thought. And I tell you this story simply with a hope in trying to use it to share with you what I think the real significance is of Palm Sunday. And for today's talk, I borrowed the title from a book written by M. Scott Peck way back in the 70s, The Road Less Traveled. And I'm pretty sure most, if not all of you, have heard of it. If you have never read it, do yourself a favor and grab hold of a copy. I think it's a message that has aged rather well. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, a very significant day for many reasons. It's the launch of Holy Week. And not too many people think of it this way, but Holy Week consists of a series of dots which the writers of the Gospels intended for people to connect. In modern times, people don't really tend to connect these dots, and this definitely includes the unity movement. These dots include Palm Sunday, the Last Supper, crucifixion, and the resurrection. Each of these events represents a transition in consciousness or an awakening of some kind. And it all begins with Jesus' journey into Jerusalem during the Passover holiday. All four Gospels carry the story. For Jesus, that first Palm Sunday was a coming of age. Throughout most of his adult life and his ministry, he was very much a reluctant Messiah. And he must have been aware of his own Christhood, although he would not have described it as such. Surely it was at the heart of the words that he had spoken and the basis of the miracles that had been ascribed to him. But on multiple occasions, he instructed those around him not to say a word to anyone about what he did or what he said. Perhaps he needed some time to digest the awareness that was growing within. But on that first Palm Sunday, it all changes. His actions that day are well thought out, extremely deliberate, and precise. On that day, he is making a statement. He instructs his followers to go to a nearby town to get a donkey, a young colt never before ridden. He tells them what to say if they're questioned. He tells them to play the Messiah card, which they do, and it works. And they bring the donkey back to him for him to sit upon and ride victoriously into Jerusalem. But the significance of Jesus's triumphant march into that city that day is powerfully dramatic for other reasons. As I said, it was the Jewish feast of Passover, and Jews thousands of Jews from all over the world would travel to Jerusalem for this particular feast. The Romans, who always were politically astute, would use this day to their own advantage. Every year, the Roman governor of Judea, and that year it would have been Pontius Pilate, would parade into Jerusalem to be present for that Jewish celebration of Passover, and he would do so in full military brigade. This was to send a clear message to the Jews. Go ahead and celebrate this special day in your history, your liberation from Egypt. But don't forget who's in charge now, who's the boss now. And it was in the midst of this high drama of the Romans entering the holy city on one end that Jesus dared to parade into Jerusalem from the opposite side of the city. On the way into Jerusalem, the road Jesus traveled was lined with Jews who were going berserk, wild out of their minds that their long-awaited Messiah had finally arrived. Culturally, even the least literate of the Jews would understand the prophecy that Zechariah made of the Messiah arriving on the donkey. And what this man Jesus was proclaiming by taking the actions that he was taking that day. As the video that I played kind of illustrated, the crowds were so loud and shouting that some of the bystanders and the authorities, fearful of the Romans hearing the commotion, asked Jesus to tell the crowd to cool it. And Jesus answers, "If I told them to be quiet, the very stones and rocks along the road would cry out." There is no way that Jesus would have been naively unaware of what it was that he was doing and of the risk and danger he was putting himself in. He was, after all, a Jew, ruled and oppressed by the Romans. And he was fully versed in Jewish tradition and the prophecies of Zechariah. Our message today is The Road Less Traveled. And I want to take a look at this title from two slightly different perspectives. If we value, as we certainly do in Unity, and throughout Christianity, things like beauty and joy and love and compassion and human worth, we hopefully can be understanding, not in any condescending way, that due to circumstances and real life experiences, it can be more difficult for some of us, more than others, to truly embrace such spiritual values. If you've been abused and constantly sent messages that, hey, you don't measure up and you are unworthy, traveling a spiritual path lined with compassion, hope, love, and human worth and self-worth, it'll just be more difficult. It becomes, for that reason, a road less traveled. And this is one of the more powerful messages of Unity. This is where Unity absolutely shines, because the message we send is clear. Regardless of who you are, regardless of how you may have been mistreated, ridiculed, abused, diminished, and scorned throughout your entire life, you are a person of worth. You are a human being loved by God beyond your wildest imagination. And deep within you are unlimited possibilities just waiting to unfold. If you on any level are thinking that you are a worthless sinner or crud, get over it. It's a message that constantly was expressed by Jesus throughout his ministry. But there is another road that is less traveled. While the first situation inhibits travels along our spiritual paths because of being told what we are not, the other road doesn't get traveled because of a lack of courage. And knowingly compromising those precious values and turning our backs on what we know we are called to be and what we are called to do. And when you know better and you decline to walk the talk, the road you end up taking is one of pretense and hypocrisy. I'm aware I'm using some pretty strong language here, so let me soften it a bit. It's real easy to not travel down a road we know we should take because of the enormous pressures that surround us and the consequences that we perceive will be involved if we step forward, and so we cave in. Look at the world around us. More mass shootings took place this week, including another senseless, serious one in Colorado. And as usual, they were followed by our politicians making statements that guns don't kill people, people kill people. And very likely, any calls for stricter gun laws will once again fall to the wayside. And yet, collectively, we really know better. The crime rate in Great Britain is pretty much about the same as we have here in the United States, but the percentage of people who die there from gunshots is a fraction of what we have in the United States, because guns in the United Kingdom are not as accessible as they are to us in this country. I have spoken enough over the past few months about politicians who not only look the other way, but actually make up weird stories to justify their actions or their refusal to act. And they know better. And they just seem not to care. It's all about compromising integrity in exchange for being accepted and reelected. It's about refusing to uphold ideals they swore to uphold. It's all about turning a blind eye and a deaf ear and keeping those abstract values that we talked about earlier, values of love and compassion, and keeping them abstract. I have been there myself many times. On numerous occasions, I have bitten my tongue when I was with customers who made disparaging remarks about people of color. Sometimes really bad things were said about Jews, and I kept quiet, even though the owner of my company was an Orthodox Jew and a really good man. I have shared a pizza with friends who told jokes that denigrated women and homosexuals, and I laughed. Early on in my life, I truly did not know better. I thought it was just the way it was. But later on, I came to know better. But I kept my mouth shut because I didn't want to be criticized or left on the outside looking in. So I get it. I really do. There's a reason the Gospels carry that side story in which Peter is told, before the cock strikes three times, you will deny me. Peter knew better. And there's a reason that Judas hangs himself when the consequences of his betrayal are realized. The nature of our decisions and how we live our lives day in and day out are all a reflection of the spiritual path that we are walking. And it's one thing to try to crawl out of a hole when people are trying to cling to you, hang on to you, and pull you down. But it's another thing to have the awareness, the knowing of the right way to get out of the hole, but you choose to stay put. I said earlier that there was no way that Jesus was unaware of the potential consequences of his triumphal march into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday. For him to be unaware, he would have had to have been mentally delusional. It is no wonder that over the centuries, the emphasis that was placed on Jesus is that he was God or the Son of God. After all, that's what it would take, because any human would know that what he was doing was likely to be suicide. Over the centuries, this "I am the Messiah" claim by Jesus has been heralded as remarkable, but no surprise. After all, embedded within us very early on is the belief that he was indeed the Messiah, and I'm not suggesting anything to the contrary this morning, but I do have a question for you. Could it have been someone else? Was it only possible in the person of Jesus? Or was it in the realm of possibility that someone other, another Jew, could have made the claim of being the Messiah? Think about that for a moment. Pause briefly, and in all seriousness, ask yourself that question. Was there any other person, in particular any Jew, who was immersed in the culture of that day that could have risen to the occasion? And if your answer is no, it only could have been Jesus, then why is that your answer? Is it because Jesus was God or the Son of God? Is it because only Jesus had the capacity to rise to such a level of consciousness? In tackling these questions that I'm asking, I'm aware we are kind of teetering on the brink of a unity precipice, and just how seriously we do take our second unity principle. If it only could have been Jesus and nobody but Jesus, we are in effect denying the Christ essence in everybody else and within ourselves. If it could only be the truth and the reality and the destiny of this person that we claim as our way shower, we are in fact negating the possibility that we too can be and are called to be Messiahs. In unity, not only do we affirm to one another that you are profoundly worthwhile and precious despite any and all of your experiences that may have told you otherwise, but we also dare to proclaim that we all share that Christ essence and are capable of manifesting it beyond any limitations the world might try to impose and beyond any self-limitations that our own heads may try to impose. We teach this, and I believe we believe it. But if we believe it, we have to take that road less traveled. We have to be preparing ourselves for the day when we triumphantly will march into our own Jerusalem, fully understanding the risks involved, but choosing to do it because it is ours to do. In other words, you cannot affirm the Christ within without exercising our fifth principle and making it happen in the world. In very real ways, we will remain as oppressed as the Jews were under the Romans. It may not be enforced by soldiers and swords as it was 2,000 years ago. But guess what? It wasn't soldiers or swords that held people back, that held people down back then either. It was buying into the acceptance of their oppression. It was relying on some outside Messiah to come along and rescue and redeem them. And perhaps they couldn't see the Messiah in themselves. Perhaps they could see the Messiah within and chose not to because they were frightened as to what they knew, where they knew that it might take them. And in so doing, they made a decision and he took the road less traveled. Growing up is a joy. It brings with it a profound satisfaction in the knowing that you are capable of doing things you never could do as a child. When I attended that civil rights rally as a young teenager, my world changed forever. I grew up in a way, and yes, as I shared, there were times I didn't claim it. In knowing that I should have claimed it and didn't was painful. But you cannot just kind of choose a road and stop when you hit a snag. And there's always help available. And you are always called to help those who may need it. Today I invite you, really get into Holy Week. To sign in and to pray, to try to connect those dots, the events that we commemorate throughout this week. And today I particularly invite you to celebrate Palm Sunday and dare to envision what your victory march might look like as you grow your own awareness. Ask yourself, is this just some story about an event 2,000 years ago? Or is there something here that is meaningful to me in my own everyday life? If you find yourself being even a little frightened by this question, then the answer may very well be yes. Every act of courage, regardless of how small, builds more courage. Every time you dare to consider possibilities, you open more doors. And every time you choose to walk through one of those doors, regardless of your consequences, your Christ light is on fire. Is the Palm Sunday story told over 2,000 years ago really a modern day call to you to ask yourself, if there is a road less traveled, that you are being called to journey? And so it is, and so we take this now to prayer and meditation.